I did want to talk about the H-1B visas today. Fascinatingly, unemployment among recent CS grads is double the rate of biology, art, or history majors. These STEM students, with their Learn to Code movement, have been promised a fake dream led down this rabbit hole chasing around. Only when they graduate, they find out there's no actual jobs waiting for them. The whole thing was just a pipe dream. I remember even when I was graduating out of UC Berkeley, a lot of my peers had troubles finding jobs, even when they graduated with a complete 4-year CS degree from a top school. CS students, totally competent, ended up becoming bartenders or just finding other areas to work in. America companies are laying off their American technology workers, seemingly replacing them with H-1B workers. One company was approved for 5,000 H-1B workers while laying off 16,000 US employees within that same year. And I have a few more stories actually about this as well. So when I was over at Meta, there were suicides at Meta, right? And I had a coworker at the time who was an H-1B visa holder. Essentially, the way it works at Meta is you are forced to get a promotion every 2 years. If you do not promote within 2 years, you are fired. This H-1B guy had to immediately switch teams where he could have more stability because he was panicked that he would get deported. There's a lot of pressure for people at Meta to just grind super hard and make sure they get a promotion within 2 years. And if they don't, they essentially get deported out. It's a hire and fire slash and burn system. And the H-1B holders are just pushed super hard to work much harder than, say, their American counterparts. There's also this other issue here. If you remember the Sohan Parekh incident from a few months ago, you know, Sohan Parekh was this person who went viral for working for multiple YC startups and companies remotely from India. He was not even a US citizen.
Like I said, you know, I was based out of India, so I had to go through a whole visa process. I wouldn't even be getting equity as long as my immigration was uncertain, which it was.
When these startup companies realized that he was actually working at all these places, they said, hey, you can't do that. And they just decided to fire him. And the whole situation blew up. But it makes you wonder, how are startups even hiring this guy if he's not even a US citizen? It's like, you're supposed to get an H-1B visa application approved for this guy, you get a social security number in that process, and then you're able to hire him and you can confirm that he's actually a US citizen. He was not even a US citizen. So there's a loophole that's going on where what these startup companies do is they don't even get the H-1B visa. They just hire these people remotely. In the age of remote work, they're able to hire remote contractors and then they illegally treat them as full-time employees. That's what all these startups are doing. They're flying under the radar. And a lot of these are YC startups. My suspicion is Y Combinator, the incubator, is going around telling their startups, hey, here's a little loophole you can do to hire cheap labor. Why don't you just hire these people as contractors? Then you don't even need the H-1B visa. You give them a lot of work and you treat them under the radar as a full-time employee. So all of these startups are now doing this. The specific rule is if you hire somebody as a contractor, you have to treat them as such. And you cannot dictate how they do their work. But all of these startups are treating him as a full-time employee. They have a problem if he's working for other companies. Well, if they treated him as a contractor, then he should be allowed to just take on multiple jobs and do the work however he likes. And he should not be beholden to the means at which he does the work. So all of these startups have been going through these loopholes now to bypass the H-1B visa. It's a totally wild situation with this guy. And if you take a look, actually, our good old friend Gary Tan, who's the CEO of Y Combinator, predictably says here, he's against this whole thing. A $100K H-1B annual fee won't bother big tech, but it kneecaps startups and body shops the same, and that is a mistake. Well, why don't you just hire some Americans and pay them a little bit more? The fascinating thing is, let me tell you how this breaks down. We have a picture here of XAI team. And the fascinating thing is, if you look at the comment, there's no Indians on Elon's AI team anymore. It's just whites and East Asians. And the way this H-1B visa thing actually works is, the Indian labor is used for low-wage tech labor. Okay, like UI buttons, React frameworks, things that you can't really mess up on. Anything basic junior level task, we're going to put it for the Indians to do because it's not even necessarily cheaper, but you get them to work harder on the indentured servant lifeline. Harder than the American counterparts because they're under the threats of deportation. they're chained to that company. If they get fired, they get deported. Now, over in China, you have the really top-notch universities, right? Like Beijing University, Tsinghua University. And so for AI, you're going to have to come over to China to hire the Chinese people, right? As I understand. I mean, that's my suspicion. That's why like Meta's AI team, I think, has a lot of the China people. That's the breakdown. Like if you're truly qualified and have exceptional skills, get the O-1 visa. That is for exceptional ability. But they're abusing the H-1B system to bring in just anybody out there. Look, this isn't about racism. It's simply about prioritizing American labor properly when American students are qualified to do the work. I know people graduated with complete CS degrees who applied to Google and Meta and these top Silicon Valley tech companies, and they couldn't get anything. And meanwhile, I finally got into Meta and Google after years of applying. After 10 years of applying, I got into Google. When I finally got there, I took a look around and I was expecting to see top-notch talent, the smartest people in the world, people smarter than me. I went there, I was the smartest, and I was promoted to tech lead over there right away at both of these companies. And I looked at the quality of my coworkers, and they were incompetent, vastly incompetent. They're just doing quality assurance. The teams are packed with these people. They're just doing super basic work, making buttons. Just wire up one button to another button. That's it. There's no algorithms. Nobody writes anything complicated. You don't do any of that. If you go to like any quality assurance team, you go to Google's QA team, the whole QA team is staffed by Indians. That's a fact. Well, I know plenty of CS students in America who would love to work at Google for a QA team, even. But all of these teams for QA is the whole team is Indian. And maybe they've got like one American white guy leading the team. That's the way they run it. I'll tell you another story. When I was at Groupon, I mean, Groupon is an Indian factory, right? I had this Indian coworker who I was, like, I'm his friend, right? And he needed his green card approved. And so he would talk to his manager and say, look, can you please help me file for my green card? And the manager kept saying, yes, I'll get around to it. And then the manager intentionally missed the deadline. And Indians operate on this caste system, so it's based on their own social hierarchy. There was a news a while back that Cisco was bringing in caste systems as well into their promotions and things. By intentionally missing that deadline, they're able to keep this coworker chained to that startup. One of the things you need to understand is that the reason we have borders is to ensure that our standard of living is protected. If we were to not have borders and to just allow anybody to come in, then the standard of living is a race to the bottom, lowest quality of life. There may be people in other parts of the world who are willing to eat rats. They're willing to have terrible working conditions and work 16-hour work days and just totally grind. And when you open the borders for that, you bring that quality of life into the US and expose all Americans to that same competitiveness. There was another post here. I believe this guy used to work at X. American companies clearly prefer H-1B workers and TN status workers over Americans. Don't let the managerial class nag you into thinking otherwise. The reason is that they work harder because you can fire them and deport them. That does not work on Americans. It's just how it is. Do I like Indians? I don't have a problem with people. I'm not racist here. What I have a problem with is when we are deprioritizing American students. What do you think about corporations circumventing the new H-1B tax by employing people through other subsidiaries in other countries? Yeah, that's what they're doing now. They essentially set up branches in other countries. I mean, either way, America may be losing tech, one way or another. And arguably, I don't think it's necessarily something that we have to hold on to either. If you set up a border just to protect your own competitiveness because you're not really competitive on the free markets, how sustainable is that? We can save a few jobs now, but in the long term, can we really sustain this path? Other people are just willing to work harder and longer. We outsourced manufacturing and chips and semiconductors years ago because we thought, hey, we're just gonna do JavaScript. We're just gonna make Web 2 apps and iPhone apps and social media apps. We're just gonna do the software. Everybody else cannot do all the hardware stuff. But now we want to bring all of that back onshore so that we can do the GPU chips, right? We need to make silicon again. We want robotics. It's all hardware. We don't have that knowledge anymore. Schools haven't taught any of that. When you go to school, you're not learning how to build an AI NVIDIA chip. They're teaching that over in China and Taiwan and these other countries. So it's going to really take another entire generation to re-educate our workforce into that. If it really is getting to the bottom of the barrel in terms of wages and rates, because the STEM competition is just so difficult in these other places, maybe it's time we just treat it as the new trucker class, the farming class. Maybe Americans should just look into attention economy. Media has arguably always been the game. STEM is arguably the lowest level skill out there. The highest value skill is the ability to gain attention, charisma, communication. If you're only doing STEM and technical knowledge work, there's billions of people out there who can do that probably better than you, and they're willing to work harder than you. Their future depends on that much more. And now you know why California is so blue. All of these tech companies tried to silence and censor Trump, right? They banned him on social media. When Trump was elected, everybody, the CEOs, were crying and they were issuing statements to employees about therapy they could take. They're pushing all of these very liberal policies on all of their social media networks everywhere because they want immigration. The reason tech votes Democrat and blue is because they need that immigration. They need the H-1Bs, and they need to secure that because the labor is the highest cost within their companies. If you were to ban that path for the H-1Bs to come into the tech companies, they're hosed. So they have to try to make sure that everything is blue, everything's Democrat. They love those open borders. And as I mentioned, no matter what sort of barriers or walls you try to put up to protect yourself, it's not really sustainable. And in one capacity or another, I think you will still always be exposed and have to compete with all of that foreign labor. One way or another, somebody will arbitrage it. And maybe we'll see the next Silicon Valley in London, right? Somewhere in Europe or over in Asia somewhere. Problem is not H-1B deep-rooted, the problem is money. Bitcoin is the solution. That is correct. That is correct. Bitcoin fixes so much things. It fixes everything. The funny thing is Bitcoin is going to continue moving up. It has not changed in 15 years. Still the same trajectory that it's always been on. And it's just going to continue on it.